When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Hockey! Yeah. Yeah!
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Hey, hey, it is Judd's Hockey Show. It is the Wednesday edition, which means it's Judd. It's Jesse Pierce of Bar Down Beauties, the fantastic podcast. And also, NHL.com covers the Wild. It's AJ Fredrickson, who has basically become my co-host because Declan Goff is off doing twin stuff now, but we love having him aboard. And it's playoff time. The Wild might be out, but how are we feeling so far about what transpired in the first round of the playoffs and now with the second round? Are we having fun watching the playoffs?
I'm having so much fun. We're getting game sevens. We're getting double overtimes now in the second round. And again, there's no anxiety. There's no stress. There's no pressure. I don't even have to watch if I don't want to, because you know what? The Wild aren't playing. There's nothing to really pay that close attention to. But again, as we discussed last week, it just reiterates how far the Wild are from being a true playoff contending team, because what we're witnessing now with the teams in that first round and now into the second, it's some really, really, really good hockey. So it's a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah. And you know how fun it is to not have anything at stake and watch Jacob Trouba go 100 miles per hour face first into the boards horizontally?
Like, that was ridiculous.
That was insane.
That was so dangerous. Unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
he would have killed Natchez.
And that's the thing. Like, normally he's usually pretty consistent and he'll hurt the other guy, but luckily last night he missed fair and square. So but yeah, no, we're kind of getting the best of everything that playoff hockey has to offer. Double overtime, blown leads left and right. We saw it in the first round, we saw it last night with Jesse Stars. Unfortunately, yep. Banged that glass a little bit more, but you know, we're kind of getting everything playoff hockey has to offer, and yesterday we know where the Wild are drafting now, which is fantastic.
Screw the Stars, first of all. I was glad that they choked. Now, I think my favorite game was Game 7, Boston-Toronto, just because I had a feeling that whoever loses this game, the head coach, very well might be fired. Sheldon Keefe, now the Leafs were supposed to have their end-of-the-season session with their management team on Thursday. It's been backed up to Friday. But I thought if Jim Montgomery, for the second consecutive year, right, in Boston, if they lose, he's gone. So that game, it was just like watching careers at stake. So what I have today is a packet full of questions for you guys, a packet full of questions involving, which will somehow relate back, of course, to the Wild. But since they're done playing, question number one, and this can go for the entire playoff field, so if a team is done, that's fine too. Which former Wild player in these playoffs have you missed the most? So you're watching him play, you're reminded of what he brought, or perhaps he has progressed, and you think to yourself, boy, I miss player X. Jesse, who have you missed the most among the many, many former Wild players who are participating in this postseason?
Charlie Coyle, man. I mean, I know everybody was exhausted and spent on the opportunities he was given, and he's a very different player in Boston. I think a large part of that is he's going home. He knew the pressure that amounted with being back in Boston, but he's transformed into a really, really good player, not just in these playoffs for them, but in general since he's put on that Bees uniform.
Yeah.
I wish we could have had that Charlie Coyle. I mean, he added muscle mass, right? He's just grown and matured too. So it's a player that just wasn't here in Minnesota. Not to mention, I just love me some Charlie. You know, he's a good dude on top of it yep. all. But he's really contributed to the Bees' success. And I think if we could have had that version here, God, it would have been really fun to watch.
You know,
Age, who do you miss?
I'm going to stay in Boston too here. I'm going to go Patty Maroon, only because I miss the idea of what he was going to be. Like, we didn't really get to see it with the Wild, and obviously the injury kind of derailed that. But if they had gotten to the playoffs, God, that's a guy that you wish you would have in your lineup, because he brings that kind of that he walks the walk, he talks the talk. Sure, he's not going to wow you with his skill by any means, but he's leaning over the boards, talking between the barriers. You know, hey, I'll fight any one of you, you bunch of whatever, you know, insert your choice of insult here. He's a playoff hockey guy, and that's a guy where you're not going to spend millions upon millions of dollars on him in your lineup, but he's a crucial part of, I think, any team that wants to make a deep run, because he's big, he's tough, he's going to stand up for guys, he's a big energy guy, a locker room guy, which I know Bill Guerin, one of the big reasons why he went after him in the first place. So we didn't really get to see him in his full Pat Maroon-ness in Minnesota, but I think we're seeing that now. As he's taking the ice here, I think 7 games, he's actually got a couple points, 7 or 8 games with the Bruins in the
fourth
playoffs.
Line. He's very effective.
He's effective within his role, which is what I miss.
I mean, I find it interesting, though, because I do looking at the Pat Maroon in Boston and the one here, just the vibe is different. And maybe that's because he saw the writing on the wall, right? He saw this Minnesota team and was like, you know what? They're not going to make the playoffs. And obviously he's excited to go to Boston where they were playoff bound anyway. But there is. I'm like, I never felt that Pat Maroon fully vested in to what the Wild were doing here and what he needed. I think he was kind of like, he didn't choose here, remember. He got traded here, so that wasn't his choice. And I just kind of feel they're getting the better version of Pat Maroon than Minnesota really got. Because even in that physical presence, you didn't see a lot of it. Like, once in a while, maybe it wasn't as disappointing as Ryan Reeves was when he came here for that same role the year prior. But it is funny to see him like, that's the Pat Maroon Minnesota missed out on.
I think Maroon is, if you're Bill Guerin, I think Jesse and Age, to a certain degree, what you guys just said, I think it's incredibly telling. And I think what we're seeing is the clear fly in the ointment of the Wild culture. Like, you put Maroon into the right culture, winning, but also a hard ass, like the Bruins are going to, they might lose, but they're going to go down with a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not to pick on him, but there's a big difference when the rat, little Brad Marchand, is your captain as opposed to Jarrett Spurgeon. And yeah, but I mean, think about it. Like, because Jesse, I think you're right. Like, I never sense that, and you're around the team 100 more times than me. But whenever I was around the room or something, I never sensed that, like, oh, Pat Maroon's here. You know, there's this, oh, I get it now. Like, often there's that, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
I never had that. But then to what Age is saying, you watch him in Boston, you're like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I'm Guerin, I'm taking notes on exactly what this does not make this team a bad group of guys. They might be too nice. Mm-hmm. So like, this is not the culture sucks because they don't care. But man, it's like Maroon got put in here and he's like, okay, yeah. Like Jesse said. And he goes to Boston. It's like, this is where I thrive.
There was, like, no buy-in.
Yeah. Like, how do you get, like, how do you get, you need that. Mm-hmm. You need that. You need a bunch of SOBs that you know, just want to play and win and that don't want to go to one guy's house for Thanksgiving. I don't care if you guys eat together ever again, except on the road. I do want you to do that. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Maroon thing to me is so intriguing, because I sensed the exact same thing. And then I thought, well, he might just be done, mm-hmm. like at the end of his career. But then he goes to Boston and it's totally the switch is flipped again. That's I love that one.
And the thing is about that, maybe you could argue the other side of this, but to me, that makes me more confident in Bill Guerin's, like, picking the guy to add to the lineup. You go out, you get a guy like Pat Maroon, because now you're seeing what exactly he probably wished and thought he would bring to the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, yeah, it didn't happen, but he has that recognition now. This tells me, like, he picked the right guy. The cards, he just, you know, he got screwed on a river card or whatever. This is, to me, a little bit more beneficial, and I'll trust moving forward whatever Billy G wants to do. It says he's able to key into those character guys a little bit more, too.
Mm-hmm. I think the room needs more edge.
Yeah.
My guy, and this is based on one game, Game 7, Dallas Stars v. Vegas Golden Knights, Stars 1, Sam Steele.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Steele in Game 7. Where were you, Sammy? He was dominant. Like, he was killing penalties. He was setting up plays. That fourth line had a phenomenal game. I mean, oh, my God. That was absolutely... At first, I'm like, okay, he's playing well. And then he makes another play. And then he makes another play. It's like, he's not playing well. He's having one of the most important games on this team in a crucial game. And I was never a big Sam Steele guy. I always thought he was sort of a Dean guy. I got to play the guys I like to play. Sam Steele, man, congratulations. That was impressive. I don't know that we saw that here ever. And I don't know that he was put in a position. But that one absolutely shocked me. Like, of all the former Wild players in these playoffs, that was one where I was like, didn't see that coming. And it was impressive.
I think you saw like 2 weeks of a really good Sam Steele. I really do think that. I remember like there was 2 weeks where we were like, oh, wow, Sam Steele. And it's funny because in being in tune with like the Dallas Stars fans on hockey Twitter, they hated Sam Steele for most of the year. Like, he was just blowing things for them down on that third and fourth line. People wanted him scratched. They wanted him traded. Like,
that's what
Stars fans were very adamant that they were not fans of Sam Steele. But then toward the end of the regular season, a switch flipped or something had happened where he started to really play and show some potential and some skill. And you're right. I forget about little Sammy Steele. He's got some speed. He's got some skill. And if he can just utilize that, he's a great fourth liner for you because he's not just a grinder. He does have some talent there too, which is great. So good on Sammy. Yeah. When you were going Stars, I was afraid you were going to say who shall not be named, but
Yeah, screw him. No, he.
I didn't know.
He's not getting named.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad. Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Okay, question two. Speaking of the aforementioned Dallas Stars, how do you guys feel, and you fall into a different age bracket generationally, hockey-wise, than I do. But starting with Jesse, how do you feel about seeing, I believe it's your Stanley Cup pick, the Dallas Stars, how dare you,
I know,
succeeding into the second round, where I do think that they will get beat, but still, they are there.
It's funny because when I went back and looked at my preseason predictions, I swore up and down that I had picked the Rangers because I love the Rangers. Note the Mark Messier jersey in the back. Shesterkin, I love me some good goaltending. Like, I just love every, and I like Peter Laviolette too as
great
coach out there.
Too. The Garden. Great,
yeah, right. Like, everything. So I thought I'd pick the Rangers. Unfortunately, apparently I stuck with the West and picked Dallas to defeat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals. I do think those are your Stanley Cup Final teams. The reason I like Dallas so much is they're just good. They've got good goaltending. They've got good defense. They've got Wyatt Johnston doing things that a kid under 20 years old shouldn't be doing. You've got Tyler Seguin in his prime form the past two seasons. I mean, it could be a lot of recency bias in watching them dismantle the Wild during the regular season this year and in the postseason last year, but they're just good. I put aside all feelings, you know, negative via the North Stars, via Minnesota Steelers team, and just they're a really fun team to watch when they're clicking on all cylinders. And I think that this is going to be another great series against the Avs. Hopefully, I don't love that they blew a 3-goal lead, but I love that they weren't overly concerned with it either, knowing that it was just the first game and knowing that it's going to be a tight series. So I don't have the animosity that I know my co-host Kirsten has, that Judd, I can see in your eyes you have.
Oh, yeah, I got fire burning.
I think they're a really fun team, Kirsten, to watch. Yeah, I like Jake Ottinger. I love him, again, with my goalies, and he's a local kid. When he's on, he's on. You gotta give him props. So Dallas, Go do you. Don't embarrass me. That's what I'd like. Because then it's hard. Then I get it double as bad when they lose, right?
I'll rub it in. For sure.
Yeah. See, Jesse, you're a respected journalist, and I respect you because you can push that bias aside. And to an extent, I can as well. The team itself and the franchise, I don't really have a quarrel just because I'm younger and I don't really have any, like, North Stars memories of me going and watching them. I was just born after the team left. But, you know, the fan base is what really throws me off because the past couple seasons, they've overtaken, like, what Colorado was in my mind, where it's just they're insufferable. It's this weird kind of pomp and, like, they're very pompous, chest out. Like, I don't understand where this is all coming from.
The Dallas Stars chant is one of the most obnoxious things ever. Dallas Stars, screw you. I hate that chant.
It's terrible. Like, the branding, I don't like. Like, you had these beautiful jerseys with some gold trimming and the black, and now you have, like, a Starbucks knockoff with an ugly green. It's like, is it forest? Is it mint? I don't know exactly what you're doing here.
And their playoffs with the AI, that is atrocious.
That was terrible. Like, the themes. And then some of the players, like, I'm not a Jamie Benn fan. Jamie Benn is the most fraudulent Art Ross Trophy winner in the history of hockey. The 14-15 season, I don't understand how he won this with 87 points. I did a little research before this. The last time somebody played essentially a full season and scored less than that was Stan Mikita in 67. But that's when they played 74 games, and he had 87.
Don't you knock Stan Mikita?
I'm not knocking him.
Wayne's World?
I'm not knocking Stan Mikita.
Stan Mikita's donuts?
But he played less than 82 games. They played 74 that season. He only played 70 of them, and he had 87 points. Otherwise, like Jagr, 48 in a lockout season, he had 70. My guy, Marty St. Louis, had 60 in 12-13. Like, it is insane that a guy like Sidney Crosby misses 5 games and comes 3 points shy, and all of a sudden Jamie Benn just has this, and plus they do go down fairly easily. Who was it last night that went down for embellishment on a pretty weak hooking call? I'm not exactly sure. But, like, the franchise, I don't hold a grudge against. It's the fan base, it's the off-ice stuff with the AI playoffs. Like, what are we doing? It's a lot of
Glassbanger guy.
That guy.
What a moron.
Really quick. Can you?
I kick him out of the arena.
Tickets are so expensive. Tickets are so expensive these days.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You saved up. You love hockey. You finally, I'm going to treat myself. Maybe I'm going to go with my pops, who's a lifelong hockey fan. We get on the glass and you come down the aisle and you're sitting next to this guy who. Yeah.
Well,
he goes full COD zombie mode on it on the glass. Like, buddy, you're not in the game. You're not in the game. You're disrupting everybody around you. It's obnoxious.
I did some reconnaissance reporting work here because I'm like, do they really allow, like, those seats are expensive as hell. Do they really allow a guy? He used to do it. They told him to knock it off. You can't bang the glass. But I've also been told that this thing between him and Biz on Turner is a bit.
It has to be. There's no way that so, this goes that hard if it's not. Yeah.
So the banging being allowed to return was for the bit.
Makes sense.
So, like, he's not allowed to do, which is why if you watch now, he's got a sign that says bang. Now, I would say sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
Or sit down and cheer. I don't give you cheer, but don't have it. But anyway, I've been told it's a setup. It's complete crap. But that makes it even worse because it's not sincere then. That makes it worse. And the jerseys suck.
Hot take: on the glass seats aren't your best seats in the house anyway.
Oh,
you can't see the whole ice. Like,
I'd rather
go up
top.
A couple rows, be able to see things. Like, you don't want those seats.
Corners
anyway.
Are the best. Higher corners. Yes. Higher
and go
corners.
On the side where your team's going to score twice, so you have a little bit more fun that way, right? Like,
exactly.
It's just,
but that guy's a moron.
And I've been told I'm a hypocrite because I like the green men that Vancouver used to have. But the problem is that was like, one, they're by the penalty box. Two, they're silent. And they do it during whistles. Three, they were, I think, employed by the team at a certain point. So it was like they were partnered with the
and
team.
They're green and they're hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. This guy just shows up and then he's like on Twitter talking about, like, I'll kill you. I'll fight you right now. You can't. Like, dude, you are not on the team. You're just a guy. You're just a guy who happens to have these seats. Relax.
Well, and hockey doesn't need, you don't need a guy that, like, does that. Like, if it's organic.
That fan organization doesn't need a guy. You don't need somebody else.
Or like a guy that, let's say, shows up and throws T-shirts and dances around that you pay a lot for X amount of games. Craig Leopold, close circuit to you. You don't need that garbage.
You don't.
Just stop with it. Now, if somebody stops it or starts it organically and fans dig it, that's different. Mm-hmm. But all these gimmicks, and yeah, their jerseys suck. The one thing I will say, so I still hate them, and Suter rubs me the wrong way 1,000%. But, and we'll get to that actually with a question. But that being said, the one thing that I admire a lot, the Dallas Stars have some really nice veteran players. But more importantly to me, and this is where the Wild, I hopefully, knock on wood, has taken a page. You look at their young talent and their drafting, it's phenomenal. Like if this team really was just like Ben and Duchesne and Sagan and Suter.
It's the Minnesota Wild in green.
Exactly. It's not that great. but you know, Wyatt Johnston's a revelation.
Yes.
But then you start to look at Ottinger, and then you look at more guys, the young kids, like hopefully that this is what Bill Guerin's done. Cause this is how you win.
Mm-hmm.
You're young, you're energetic. You've got guys that can lead. Like I do like, aside from 20, I do like the distribution of like the leaders of that team.
Pavelski's great, and I would take a Jamie Benn on my team. I'm not gonna lie; I would absolutely take Jamie Benn on my team.
I might. We might have a problem there, Jesse.
Pavelski's a free agent, you guys.
And Pavelski lives in Wisconsin.
Yes.
He's from Wisconsin.
Now Pavelski, unfortunately, is influenced by he who shall not be named, and his belligerence. But yeah, Pavelski does live in Wisconsin. He can get very close to home here. Mm-hmm. I would bring him in my locker room, like that.
He deserves a Stanley Cup.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and he might win one and then come here.
There you go.
Of course, then it'll be poor Matt Cullen times two when he came here and nothing good happened. Okay. Question three. Who do you want to see advance? Right, Zach Parise or Ryan Suter? Because the $98 million boys are playing each other. Colorado, obviously, as we just talked about, came back from a 3-0 deficit last night. Zach, who said he is done after this on the Avalanche. Suter, who plans to play until he's 52 on the Stars.
If we're picking strictly based on the players, not necessarily the teams, because obviously, yeah, as I mentioned,
now we're just
I'm on the Stars wagon. I got to go Zach Parise because of what you had mentioned. Like, it's his end of the career, so long, farewell. He had a very promising career, right? I think he didn't accomplish what needed to be accomplished here in Minnesota, didn't get to do all the things that Minnesota had wanted to see him do. But in New Jersey, he was good. I mean, he is an idol. He's still one of the top American-born players in the league. So, I mean, he's had a very good year. So I think just a Stanley Cup for him is well-deserved. Plus, as Kirsten and I talked about this year, he has a much better personality than Ryan Suter. He's a little bit friendlier. He's smiling. He's jovial. So you can't help but be happy for him, right? And you know he's going to come back here, coach in Edina, something there with the kids. So I'd say, Zacho, go get
kids,
him.
Your kid just flew.
Did you see me? Yeah, I just pushed him out of the way. And then he's trying to
elbow?
Just, yeah, I gave
two
him
2 minutes
a
for elbowing?
Probably going to get 2 minutes for it, but I'll deal with it later. I'll take the sussy if
there
I need to.
There will be consequences,
well.
Though. The kid, 10-minute misconduct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Match penalty, so. Perhaps. Hey, Jacob Trouba, settle down.
I know, right? So give me Zach. Go get him, Parise. Yeah. It would be very I imagine it'd be very emotional for him, too, especially knowing it's his final year.
Yeah, everything that Jesse just said. I don't need to kind of repeat too much. I mean, he just has, I think, a little more tie to the state of Minnesota, especially given his father, JP, playing for the North Stars. And when they both were bought out, I feel like Parise, for whatever reason, it didn't leave a sour of a taste.
Well, he expected it.
Exactly. And that's the point, too.
Suits was like, what?
And then
how could it be?
And then did Zach call Suter to be like, hey, by the way, Guerin let me go? And Suter was like, oh, that's too bad. Weird. Garen's calling me right now.
Yes.
No idea.
And then he told Suits, we're buying you out. And Suter just hung up on him.
and then Suter, I mean, it seemed like maybe this was part of the reason, maybe part of the not a reason, but he stayed in division. Like he wanted it to, it seemed like, stick it to the Wild, play them a little more times each year and say, hey, you know what? I'm on a better team now. I'm going to stick it to you guys for treating me the way you did. I don't know. Parisi with the back stuff that he's battled with, you know, after his New Jersey days, after his Minnesota days, going out to the Isle in New York, now trying to make a run with the Avalanche. Go get it. Finish the story. Be Cody Rhodes and finish the story.
That's three for three because, and if I'm not mistaken, Zach went with the Devils to the Stanley Cup final against the Kings, right? Mm-hmm. And they lost. Obviously, he's not been back since, but yeah, he is my clear-cut choice. And I think it's a, I think it'd be a far more satisfying story for Wild fans to have Zach with a ring than to have the alternative. This was not on your, on the list of questions I sent to you, but it came to me this morning. So I'm going to use this as the next question. We'll start with age on this one. What do you think that the Wild organization can learn from the Timberwolves' current playoff success? So we're talking about a team that hasn't been past the first round since 2015 in the Wild. They haven't been to a Western Conference final since 2003. As the Wild watches the Wolves and sees how this unfolds, and I know it's a different sport, but what do you think can be learned?
It's tough to say build around one player because basketball, in my mind, there's only five guys, and one of them can be on the court for, you know, 40 minutes in a night if you really want to push the limits. But look at what Anthony Edwards has done for this organization. Maybe this goes to kind of what Bill Guerin was talking about, where changing the attitude. Kind of like the face of the team prior to that was Karl-Anthony Towns. And not that Karl-Anthony Towns cannot be a great guy. I know he's been kind of a revelation this season for the Timberwolves. But when it comes down to it, when Anthony Edwards came in, it maybe took a year, year and a half, maybe two, but then it was cemented as this is his team. Look at the attitude he brings on the court, off the court. I know SportsCenter just ESPN rebumped one of the initial interviews that he did when he showed up here. And it's just like that swagger, that confidence kind of, you name it, I'll do it and I'll do it better than you. No questions asked. Maybe they don't have a guy like that in Kirill Kaprizov where he's going to kind of boast about it as much, but you have that attitude that we've heard him talk about and other guys talk about him where he stays a little later. He shows up to the rink in time. He's putting in 110% effort every practice. And the way that he's battled back from kind of this mysterious injury after getting folded up like a lawn chair in Winnipeg last season, you know, he's got that resilience and adversity. You have to change maybe the culture similar to how the Timberwolves did to have that swagger, have that similar to what Ryan Hartman said at the exit interviews this year. They maybe felt they had that in past years. This year, people wanted to play them. They said they're going to circle Minnesota. Hey, that's probably a point, at least one if we can drag it to overtime. But this is should be points for us, and we can probably start our backup goaltender or something like that. This is a team we can probably push around. Next year, year after that, you're ushering this new younger wave of prospects in, these guys coming up through the system. Change that attitude, change that demeanor, and make it so that you add a little beef. And teams don't want to push you around anymore. Now you're stepping on them. You're going into their barn and you're putting up 5, 6, 7 goals, similar to how we saw some teams that maybe you'd expect the Wild to kind of run rampant over. You saw the Coyotes, rest in peace, do that to them in their own barn this past season. So
Nick Bjugstad,
plain legend, Mr. Hockey. So that's my biggest takeaway is find a new attitude, like this kind of grit first mentality. Maybe that's kind of it, but it can't, obviously that's not it. You know, let's find that swagger. Let's get that Minnesota Wild. And I think casual hockey fans describe Minnesota Wild hockey as pretty boring, even with the addition of a Kirill Kaprizov. Be a team that's fast paced, be a team that is like NASCAR F1. You're zooming around the ice. You're maybe rubbing his racing type thing. Find that swagger back. Get that confidence.
I think the biggest thing to me is it's okay to stink for a little while. I mean, it's been the better half of, what, a decade that the Timberwolves were absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's what you're going to do. Eventually, your time will come. Eventually, you're going to get these number one overall picks. You're going to get your cat. You're going to get your aunt. You're going to be able to put the right pieces in place. And I think you have a really good coach in Chris Finch, too, which I don't know if the Minnesota have found their Chris Finch yet. I'm not saying that making a decision on John Hines yet one way or another, but I think he's really come in and gotten the players to buy into what they need to do. It's funny because you look at the way the Timberwolves are successful, it's defensively. And Minnesota has usually leaned on that, right? And that's always kind of been their MO, but maybe it's not quite enough. Maybe, as AJ, you said, you need that offensive power too. And Kirill's a piece of that without question, but you need more. You need the supporting cast as well, as Ant does have, even when he's carrying the team on his back. So there's a lot to be learned. I'm so happy for my Timberwolves fans, friends. I used to be a basketball player myself, so there was a day when I absolutely adored the Ballers.
Forward, center, guard, where'd you play?
I was a center, which, because when I was younger, I was this height, and then I stopped growing. And so I was a power post, man. I'd still get in there. I'd put a butt in the gut and grab that ball. I'm super feisty and aggressive. So
I can't imagine
playing. I was getting on the ground and just ripping it out. It was funny. My brothers were very tall and skinny, and they could shoot, which I couldn't do. But they're like, my dad always said, if you could combine Jesse's aggressiveness and like need to win with their shooting ability, we would have been a very good basketball player.
I'm going to say that I would take what you just talked about, though. If you watch the Wolves, it's not just their defense being good. Their mentality is what the Wild need to duplicate.
Yeah.
Like, watch how the Wolves are playing right now. It's what we have talked about. There's no time. There's no space. They are frustrating. The Wolves are doing to opponents what opponents do to the Wild in the playoffs. They take away their will to play. And the Wild meekly just leaves. And, you know, if Kaprizov has a good series, great. And if he doesn't, that's not a surprise. But the Wolves are like to me, it's very much a hockey mentality, which is, we're just going to grind you to a nub and you're going to hate your life and you are going to want out. That's what I think. And again, it goes back to the Maroon thing, the character of your team. You don't need a locker room of bad humans, but you do need a locker room of guys with an edge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the Wild has that. And when you see that at play, it's like, okay, I get that. So I think that there is something to be learned just from a mentality of, the playoffs are a different time. By the way, I would start that off by saying, if when I make the playoffs next, if I'm John Hines, my team is staying in the St. Paul Hotel for when the playoffs start, and they will leave that hotel when the playoffs end. You're not going home. You're not taking out the garbage. You're not doing anything. We are a team. We are now your family.
Are you going home to be with your wife if she's giving birth, and then are you making it back for your game that
if I'm a hockey player, no. No, I'm going to be at the game.
Because Brandon Carlo did that, right? Like, he was there, gets the game, gets, I think, what, the winner, and then you have Rudy Gobert, who's not able to do it, but which is not his fault. I get it.
Well, yeah, and it's a very sensitive thing. My personal would be, if it's the playoffs, time it out so that it doesn't happen during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But more importantly,
I can give them months. Like I said, I did this for myself. Well, two or off season, so I can give them times.
Right, but you know, you're an adult. You were fully cognizant of like how it was going to work.
Yeah,
this wasn't a surprise.
No.
So anyway, but yes, I think. The mentality that the Wolves have of being a family becomes incredibly important. That is it. Judd's Hockey Show. We've covered everything from childbirth to playoffs to Ryan Suter and or at least my personal disdain for him. All right. I'm Judd. He's AJ. She's Jesse. We will see you next week on Judd's Hockey Show.